This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Thursday morning. Let's have a Thursday, Mike. What do you think? Let's have a big Thursday. We got Mr. Thursday Night back in studio coming up at around 1:20-ish. Let's get right here. We're 500 right now. We're still feeling okay. We're not in the danger zone yet. We haven't been under 500 yet. So this is a crucial game tonight between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cincinnati Bengals. Two old quarterbacks. No, it's Thursday. But dynamite start for you. Trying to just figure out the days there. But all right, we're really turning the page here to the Broncos-Giants game. And, you know, now suddenly Giants are looking like, okay, this might be a much better team than we thought. Jackson Dart, he's not blowing it up yet, but he's playing somewhat careful. Cam Scatabo has certainly been the story on the offensive side for this team. I was thinking about this, though, just how quickly it faded for Russell Wilson. I mean, this is Russell Wilson, man. When the trade happened to get Russ to Denver, Russ was on the cusp of a Hall of Fame career. Like, okay, he's not quite a Hall of Famer, but if he can win with the Broncos, they can win a Super Bowl, then maybe he does become a Hall of Famer. And then, of course, it went south in a hurry for Denver. Enter Sean Payton, and it got worse for him. Then he goes to Pittsburgh, and that doesn't last very long, obviously. Now he's with the Giants, and that doesn't look like it's going to last very long. I think it's pretty safe to say Russell Wilson will not be a Hall of Fame quarterback. You feel pretty confident saying Russell Wilson's missed his window? Or would you give him? I mean, he does have a Super Bowl, and his numbers leading up to going to two Super Bowls were pretty good. But the decline since leaving Seattle has been a pretty steep one for him.
I think that window has been boarded up, and it's been boarded up twice, inside and outside. There are a lot of nails in that thing.
Yeah, I think it's done for him. He might, if he wants to stay in the NFL and just be like a career backup backup quarterback for the rest of his career for however long that is. Okay, but if it can't work with the Giants, who needed a quarterback, and if it can't work with the Steelers, who at the time needed a quarterback, and then you look at what the Steelers are doing now with Aaron Rodgers, who clearly still has it compared to what we saw with Russell Wilson, it's probably toast there. But Cam Scatabo, he is 82 carries for him, 338 yards. I believe he leads all rookie running backs. 5 touchdowns for him. You know, Sean Keeler put an article out that said, man, it would be a lot more fun if the Broncos had drafted Cam Scatabo as opposed to R.J. Harvey. Yeah, it'd be fun for now. I just saw yesterday Audric Estime. Where was he? He just got released. So that was the guy that you were thinking might be a future running back for Denver, and that didn't last very long. And now here we sit kind of in the same situation. I get R.J. Harvey was a second-round draft pick, so expectations are higher than they were for Audric Estime. But I need to see that Sean Payton is going to, and we can sit here and say, focus on the run, but I'd like to see more of a sample size for Harvey at this stage. And I do think that if you are going to preserve J.K. Dobbins, that's fine. If you're trying to preserve him for a late season push, okay. But let's not make that just put more stress on the passing attack on Bo Nix. I just don't know that Bo is there yet, Mike. And I'm not entirely convinced today, as we sit here, that Bo is, like, without a shadow of a doubt, the franchise quarterback. I'm not saying he's not. But I feel like there's been a lot put on him in the last 2 years by Sean Payton.
Not a Bo-leaver?
I'm not a not Bo-leaver. But you can't watch him play and tell me that he it feels like he's an obvious franchise quarterback. I feel like if we want to talk about when the Broncos actually did draft a quarterback for the future, aside from like Tim Tebow, but in that first round in Paxton Lynch, Jay Cutler, when he was drafted, and then when he finally got his start, I think the feeling of him being the franchise quarterback when he was going for Denver was a lot stronger than where we sit for Bo Nix right now.
So you're not on the Bo boat?
No. I'm just saying that it's he's average right now. He's getting a lot of national knocks on him. Like, oh, it's the best team with the worst quarterback. It was basically the worst quarterback with the winning record. I saw that. I think that was Pro Football Focus, or maybe that was Bleacher Report that came out with that. And they're not wrong right now. I mean, he's thrown 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Still, like, not, these aren't awful numbers for him. 4 interceptions in 6 games isn't bad at all, especially for a young quarterback. It's only been sacked 6 times. Denver's actually done, you know, with all their switch-ups at left guard, they've actually done really well at avoiding sacks. They're 2nd in the NFL in sack percentage. 2nd. 2.91%. They're 1st in pressure rate allowed. That's 23.3%, according to Next Gen Stats. And they've been really good in the run game. Number 7 in rushing per game at 130.2 yards, and number 10 in per carry at 4.65. Those are all next-gen stats there. So I look at that number, and that's a great number. You're running the ball well, and you're not getting sacked. So you're not getting a lot of negatives. It just seems like there's 3 or 4 drives where we all kind of take a sigh of relief and go, okay, there's the offense that we were really hoping to see with Sean Payton. And then you get a majority of the game where it still feels like they're trying to figure it out. That to me, Mike, is kind of how it feels. They're trying to figure this out. And part of that is, how are you progressing your starting quarterback? And this is why I think, you know, I don't care about the Joker position. I know we made such a big deal about that. I just want to see a quarterback's best friend, which are, in my opinion, it's a good run game and a really solid tight end. And we haven't seen it take off yet. And I talked about this a lot yesterday. I do believe that you're trying to preserve J.K. Dobbins because you think he's going to be a big part of, if you can get into the playoffs, finishing that thing out. And I agree with that. But in that process, I would like to see a fair shake for R.J. Harvey. I would like to see more plays designed for Evan Engram, who did look better and maybe is going to get to the point where he looks better every week. But, I mean, these are more next-gen stats, Mike. I'm throwing numbers at you today. They're 20th in both yards per play and scoring. They're 24th in yards per pass attempt, 18th in first downs per game, and tied for 17th in the interception rate, which is interesting. But again, only 9 touchdowns for that. So the Broncos have had 64 possessions this season, Mike. Excluding this excludes end of half stuff, so like kneel downs and things like that. But of those 64 possessions, they have failed to get a first down on 22 of them. That's a 34.4% rate. They've gone 3 and out 19 times, and the other 3 were possessions that ended without a first down because of an interception, lost fumble, or a safety. So that's the problem. You have this amazing defense, and we all agree that it's amazing, but you don't have the complementary football going on right now. You know, defensively, if you wanted to put a knock on Denver, really, I mean, yeah, inside linebacker, although we have good news, Dre Greenlaw's practicing, might actually play this weekend. But they're not turning the ball over. So they're not getting those easy, those short field situations or those opportunities for this offense. That's one issue. But then Denver's offense isn't really helping the defensive side of the ball either when they're going three and out, when they're not getting first downs. They're struggling to get those first downs in those possessions. But that's what I'm saying. Like, outside of that, 64 possessions, and they failed to get a first down on 22 of them. That's what I'm saying, where when it's good, it looks really good. But in between, it's clunky. They can't move the ball down the field. Bo Nix is missing on those long pass attempts. Those long pass attempts, man, when you get into, if you can connect on some of those 20-plus throws, you're moving down the field quickly. Now you've kind of got a secondary on their heels a little bit, and then you're able to really put that focus on the rushing attack. We're just not seeing, and, you know, I know this is a term used a lot, but explosive plays from Denver. It's not a fun brand of football right now. And that you don't always have to win when it looks fun and pretty. If you can win ugly games. I mean, Steelers are winning games right now. It doesn't always look absolutely gorgeous. There's a lot. The Eagles, when they were winning last year, it didn't always look sexy. They had amazing playmakers. But Denver's not doing that either. You know, this isn't a, you know, hey, they're going to wear you down and run the football right down your throat. That's not necessarily happening either. So this is what I want to see against the Giants, because I think we're far enough into this now where now's the time to open this thing up and see what a flowing offense looks like. Bo Nix talked about that after the Jets game. Like, hey, in the second half, we just didn't have any flow to our offense. And that's how it feels. You know, sometimes, like I say, man, it's easy for us on our couch to sit here and poke at this team. But you can tell when you're watching some of the more successful offenses in the league, when it looks like the offensive play calling does have a flow, does have a rhythm, Denver doesn't have that right now. And that's a fear. Now, they're 4-2, and those losses don't look as bad. Chargers, I think, caught a couple of bad games, but they're still a good team. And then obviously the Colts are kind of shocking the world right now. So the losses don't look bad. It's just the London game, I think, people have a bad taste in their mouth because that's the worst team, according to most, in football. And it was a struggle bus to pull that win off. But I did like the final possession to get the go-ahead field goal. That was big. But I think if you can just start to see a little offense from this team, that's when you start talking about being a contender. That's when you start getting into all of that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Go Pokes texting in. Is Denver a playoff team? At this stage, I believe they are a playoff team. I think their schedule kind of lines up. I still think the Giants game, I know everybody's going nuts right now saying, oh, now you got to watch out for the Giants. They beat the Chargers. They beat the Eagles. Are the Eagles good right now? Are the Eagles good right now? I don't think so. That's two losses in a row, and I get it. They caught the Giants. The Giants caught them at the best possible time. But the Eagles got to figure some things out. And then the Chargers started off pretty good, and it was Justin Herbert, MVP, all that, and that's slowed down quite a bit.
I think the Eagles are all right. I don't think they're great. I don't think they're bad. I think they're between good and all right. I think right now they had a Denver Broncos hangover, and start winning again.
I'm inclined to kind of go with you there. Again, I think the Giants caught them at the best time. And this is why I'm not going crazy thinking, oh, yeah, no, the Giants are now a world beat. Their defense is good. They're going to try to slow down that rushing attack for Denver. The question is, will Sean Payton stay committed to that when that starts to happen, if the Giants can slow that down? I think a lot of this, though, is Evan Ingram. So the question is, like Evan Ingram, I think you have to have another producer because Courtland Sutton, I think, had a fine season, rough game last week, but he's still going to get his numbers. In the offseason, I said this team has to get better running backs and they have to get better tight ends, which would be better weapons for Bo Nix going forward. And I haven't, in the offseason, the moves made sense. Evan Ingram, J.K. Dobbins. J.K. Dobbins was a pleasant surprise because I thought Denver was done after getting Ingram and Greenlaw and Hufanga, who they absolutely nailed it with Hufanga. He's been amazing. He's been one of the top five Broncos for sure for this team. Haven't seen Dre Greenlaw yet, so that's a yet to be determined. J.K. Dobbins, I think, has been good, but he's underutilized at this point. And then Evan Ingram, I think we're still waiting to see if he's going to have one of those kind of breakout games for Denver. So I want to see them utilize the tight end. I feel like that would work well with Bo Nix's skill set.
Got to use the Joker.
He doesn't get that. How dare you? He doesn't get that. First off, show me that stuff then. If you're going to throw around a term like that, show me some of that. But are they a playoff team? Is what GoPokes is asking. I'm saying yeah. But a lot of these games do have kind of question marks around them. Are the Giants better than we thought in a must-win year for Brian Daboll and their GM? Like, they both are. They came at this thing together. They both need a successful season for them to keep their jobs, for both of those guys, because both those guys are gone if they hit the struggle bus the rest of the way.
I think the Giants are about a 500 team.
I think I don't know.
I think 500 to a little above.
I think maybe. Hopefully, I'm not getting. I won't get bit in the butt for this. I think the Giants caught two good teams at really good at bad times in their season. Like, I think they caught the Chargers at a weird time. Who was it yesterday? Was it who was talking to me about this yesterday? Mike, I don't remember, or the day before that. But basically, in football, maybe it was Keeler of the Denver Post. Like, you're going to have three bad games. You're going to have three amazing games. You're going to have three so-so games. And everything else in between. I don't remember what that was, but it was just interesting to hear that. And I do think, like, you catch the Chargers and the Eagles at a weird time where maybe the Chargers were hitting the stroke. They were red hot. And then they beat the Broncos, and they're feeling really good. We're talking about Herbert, MVP stuff. I'm just not even ready to say the Chargers are a 500 type team. Now, again, if they beat Denver at home, then yeah, I think that narrative starts to change a bit. Dallas is interesting. Every time I think they've arrived and they're going to be good, they then lose. They played Cowboys football against Carolina and lost that one. So every time, it never fails, I think they're going to be good, and that doesn't work. Houston. This will be at Houston. This is why I think these next two games at home for Denver are huge. Houston beat the Titans, and they beat the Ravens without Lamar Jackson. I mean, they smoked the Titans 26-0, and then they smoked the Ravens. So that was at the beginning of the season. I looked at that and said, yeah, that matchup scares me on the road against Houston. And then you're home against the Raiders. You're home against the Chiefs before the bye week, Michael. With five games remaining before the bye week, I think if you're wanting to talk playoffs, then I think you're really trying to you don't want to go in anything less than 3-2 before the bye. Now, obviously, you want to get better than that because you don't. Right now, they're seventh, and I know you love that, the playoff stuff. They're seventh. But you have to take advantage of this because after the bye week, you're at Washington, you're at Vegas, which doesn't matter. Green Bay's on the schedule still. Jacksonville's on the schedule still. Another game against Kansas City, and then the final game of the season is against the Chargers. So 3-2 puts you at 7-4. You're feeling really good about your playoff chances at that point. Ideally, I think they can go 4-1. Are the Chiefs still gettable right now? Or does it look like the Chiefs have finally turned the corner this year? I'm thinking so after beating the Lions. The Chiefs are a good football team. And we knew that they would figure it out.
After that report came out, I think we're going to see the Chiefs get a lot less.
Do you think that
favorable calls?
Now they go the opposite way. Oh, they're on to us. So now we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I don't know if there's going to be they're going to go necessarily the opposite way, but there's going to be less ticky tacky calls. So there aren't going to be as many 15-yard penalties.
Maybe. I guess we'll find out. But by the time, see, if the Chiefs are back to being the Chiefs, by the time Denver gets them on November 16th, that's always kind of a scary spot because that's right around the time Chiefs are starting to sharpen the tools. So that's why these next two games being at home are so huge in my mind, just absolutely huge. I mean, they've won three in a row. Denver's won three in a row. Go up against the Cincinnati team that was your guy, Jake Browning. They looked bad. They looked like one of the worst teams in football. Then the Philly game looked great, and then Philly loses to the Giants, and you're going, oh, was that as good as it was? And then you have the Jets game in London, and that wasn't fantastic either.
Look, they were just sleepwalking through that one.
It felt like they were, especially not defensively, but offensively.
Well, offensively, they went to a pub at halftime. And they were drinking a lot.
All right, that's fun. You always look at the London thing and you say it before the season. Oh, well, that's in London. You never know, regardless of how bad the Jets might be. They're in London. That's going to be tough. I think they're a playoff team, but this offense cannot float through these games. I mean, they you can't have 1-3 really nice possessions and then just nothing, three and out. Holding safety in the end zone, fumbles. Like, you just can't have that kind of stuff anymore.
No more eating crumpets at halftime and then coming out tired.
What are you trying to do here? What is your mission here today? Is it time I have a topic in a segment, you're going to derail it with one of your stupid things? Is that what we're doing today?
Is that the goal? They did. They decided to eat wimpy British sandwiches
Stop. Give me something real. Give me something real. Don't tell me they're eating crumpets and they're at pubs. What are you seeing is what I'm asking. Because you're just derailing the conversation with these little fun things that you're trying to do.
I mean, I saw them. It looked exactly like they came into the second half very late. They were still in the locker room thinking about locker room stuff. They weren't playing very well. And then they started playing offensively in the fourth quarter.
There you go.
That's what it was.
There you go.
Beer and crumpets. In the third quarter, and then finally they started playing football.
You could go right for the onion. But this is the whole show. We're going to try to break it down for you. You're doing onion stuff right now. I need you to be a vegetable, like a real vegetable, like a really good one, not an onion.
Can you do that?
You're going to have to do it today. Texter from the 970, Broncos only play one game from Monday the 7th to Sunday the 30th of November. John Fort Fun. Yeah, this stretch here though is where I'm really thinking, man, if you can get your wins now, and yes, you're right, because you play on that Thursday, and then you're Thursday, November 6th, and then Sunday, November 16th, and then you have your bye. This is the point where you have to start, if you're a real playoff team, you have to start getting these wins. Like, you need to beat the Giants. Lose to the Giants, and we're freaking out a little bit. We are. We're gonna be talking about the sky is falling a bit. So I'm really looking forward to this matchup and finding a way to beat the Giants and the Cowboys at home. You get to 6-2, and you're feeling great about your situation. You go to Houston without as much pressure, but you got to win at home. 29 minutes after the hour, Mike. Let's take a quick break here. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We got the Thursday night special coming up. We got buy or sell. We got Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And so look forward to that. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Is this the year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
It's Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies and formerly voice of the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show.
What are we doing here? Travis Hunter is in the news today. Travis Hunter got baptized Sunday. I think it was last Sunday morning. And Mike, I don't know if you have this, and we'll play a little bit of it. You had Skip Bayless. You all know Skip Bayless. Just go off for like 30 minutes on Travis Hunter and how he's not focused because he went to church on Sunday and got baptized before a football game. I don't know if you have it. You must not have it.
It's just not pausing.
Okay. Well, I need it to play. But this idea... Now, if you are a believer, which I am, nothing comes first over your Christianity, your faith. That is number one. And if you Skip saying in his video that he's a believer, all this stuff, the idea is ridiculous to me. I've seen stories of George Carl writes about it in his book. Allen Iverson would show up to practices with alcohol on his breath. And you're going to roast a guy that keeps his body in peak condition. One of the, I think Travis Hunter is one of the kind of coolest dudes to follow. His days in Colorado and what he's done so far in the NFL has been awesome. And you're going to rip a young man for going to church on a Sunday, on a game day, which Skip keeps saying, why would he do this on a Sunday? It's when you get most of the time that's when you get baptized. Here's Skip for a few minutes, Mike. We'll play a little bit of this and see how. But I want your take on it, Hooligans.
So allow me to tell you why there was no way that Travis Hunter should have chosen to be baptized on the morning of a 1 o'clock game in Jacksonville, where he plays, obviously, for the Jaguars. Not under normal circumstances, but here's the point. These are not normal circumstances for Travis Hunter, the football player. The Jags are using him so little, especially on defense, where he is the most gifted, all-time gifted, that Travis Hunter is starting to lose interest. He's starting to check out mentally on the Jags. So he was actually happy to be baptized on a game day morning because football isn't taking that much concentration or focus or pregame mental preparation. Nope, not now. Now, I'm certainly not suggesting that getting baptized was any kind of protest on Travis's part. It was just a stunning indication, of where his head is at or not at right now. It's not really into football right now. I'll get to that point in just a minute. His attitude, obviously, in this case was, hey.
Oh, do you still have it? Okay. This is ridiculous, guys. That is irresponsible. Now, yeah, did the Jags lose the game on the day he went and got baptized? They just came off of one of their biggest wins in a while after beating the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football, 31-28. a rookie who's playing both ways, you're going to ridicule a rookie who's playing both ways, who does all the right things, doesn't get in trouble, he's not getting speeding tickets, he's not going out getting DUIs, he's not hurting people. It's the guy that got lit up. Remember the Henry Blackburn thing, and the whole CU Buffs following was just ripping Henry Blackburn to shreds. And it was Travis Hunter that stood up first, not Deion Sanders. It was Travis Hunter that stood up and said, dude, he was making a football play. It was a good play. He made a good football play. And then it was Travis Hunter that reached out and got a bowling game scheduled with Henry Blackburn so they could put it on camera that they were all good and maybe slow down some of the rhetoric. I'm not going to stand for that one, man. You got a good young dude that decided to give his life to his religion, to his God, his Savior, and we're going to sit here and talk about his dedication. If you really are a Christian and you believe that, then you realize how silly that is to say that. Because if you are a Christian and that is your faith, according to the Bible, right, that is supposed to be number one. Nothing else is over that, including your career.
I feel like if it was Tim Tebow, Skip Bayless wouldn't be talking. I don't know.
Yeah, you think Tim Tebow skipped church?
Dumb.
I don't know. I don't know if guys go to church. I don't know.
Like I
care if they did.
Like, I can understand, yeah, it's a Sunday thing, and there are Sunday games, but if it's not affecting the game, how did he perform the game?
Well,
did
he
perform
four,
well?
He had four receptions on seven targets for 15 yards as a rookie.
I mean, four of seven's not bad.
Yeah, like
how
many?
You only have 15 yards, but you catch what you can catch.
Right.
I didn't see the whole game, but like,
no,
if he was getting lit
game.
Up the entire time, I can understand people going, hey, now, he's not focusing on the NFL. But I just think there's probably a lot of hypocrisy.
But
like
if his favorite
player did kind of the same thing, you know, whether it's religious or shopping for a car or starring in a music video, I feel like Skip Bayless would be silent. And
here's the thing.
Stupid.
This is a very I think this is a dangerous game to play. You're messing with somebody's faith. And then when you put it out there on blast like that, are you discouraging other players from doing the same thing? It's a positive thing, man. Whether you are a Christian or not, whether you're not even religious. The guy was shown on camera doing something positive that is wholesome. He's not going to go do anything bad. Instead of at the nightclub or speeding down the interstate, or beating somebody up, what we saw with Mark Sanchez. I know he's not playing anymore, but he's still representing the NFL. And you're gonna roast the guy. Skip is that was part
he's
of
irrelevant.
That's what was wrong with the four-letter network for so long. Is those kind of takes you have to formulate a big-time take on that. So now you got. I don't know if you got the other clip I sent you. Probably not. A reporter asks Travis Hunter. You have it? Okay, let's play it. Here, this is even more ridiculous.
Did you get baptized this morning?
Yes.
Why did you do that?
It's a crazy question. Why did I get baptized?
Why did you choose to go to the church this morning?
Sunday. It's God's day, and I've been planning to get baptized for a minute. You know, I want to change my life over, become a better man.
What does it mean to you?
It means a lot. You know, becoming a better man, leaving my old flesh, and just becoming the new Travis.
All right, second one was cool, but the first one, did you get baptized today? Why did you do that?
Yeah, she kind of sounded...
almost pissed off, almost annoyed, right? Right.
The second guy.
Why did you do that?
Yeah.
Why'd you do that?
I don't know, the second guy sounded fine. It's just, shut up about other people's religions. Like, it didn't seem to affect him during the game as far as I can tell.
He's a rookie. He's a rookie who's trying to find a positive force to put into his life, and we're gonna have reporters asking, why did you do that? Well, why'd you do that on a Sunday?
It's not like he did it during the game. It's not like he showed up late.
So what do you want him to do? Should he have slept? Should he have been sleeping? Should he, because if anybody's gonna try to knock that dude's conditioning and how he takes care of his body, then I won't listen to you. Like, what was he supposed to be doing? Give me, okay, we didn't want him to get baptized. We want him focused on the game. So you want him sitting in a room with the door shut by himself, just like analyzing film? You want him eating food and just being quiet, game time preparation? What was he? Are they supposed to be mentally, physically, constantly playing football in their brain, even when they're not playing, all the time? Is that what we want? You got a young dude, man. It's a rookie who's, I think, been playing well. As a rookie, he has 20 catches for 200 yards. And we're gonna sit there and ask him, why don't you ask, okay, so you got baptized today. Maybe the follow-up should be, what did that mean to you? Instead of just sounding annoyed. 44 minutes after the hour, I'm annoyed. And I'm not even talking about the religion. Like, if we would have seen a video of a player hanging out with, like, donating their time to a food bank or something that morning, would we be talking about it?
No.
Oh, there's a picture of Bo Nix. He's at Weld Food Bank. For some reason, he's up here. He's at Weld Food Bank this morning helping for, you know, 5 minutes. He's giving away, you know, he's signing autographs, whatever. Is that a problem? I don't think so. Oh, it's game day. What was he supposed to be doing instead? Like, tell me, reporter Skip Bayless, what was he supposed to be doing instead?
You know, at least he's not reading a book on the sidelines, and was that even affecting that?
That didn't even affect that person. That was A.J. Brown.
Let people do what they want to do on their free time, and if it's not affecting their game, it's not affecting their
game. It's a positive thing, too.
It's all self-serving reporters trying to get clicks.
If
and frankly,
yeah.
It's the age of beige journalism. It's the age of clickbait, and these people are useless human beings, and I'd like to see them go away.
Well, that's just a dumb question. I mean, okay, did you get baptized today? Yes. What was that like? 45 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, I know we're behind the clock here. But I want to tell you quickly about the NOCO Christmas Light Pros giveaway. Win a free Christmas light decoration. Now through the end of October is your chance to win a free house decoration from NOCO Christmas Light Pros. You can nominate yourself. You can nominate someone who you think deserves it. The winner will be announced on November 3rd. All you got to do is go to 1310kfk.com, look for the NOCO Christmas Light Pros giveaway tab. Click that. It'll take you down to the registration form, which is basically just write your name, your email address, and a quick sentence or two why you should win it or why the person you're nominating should win it. Go to 1310kfk.com, NOCO Christmas Light Pros giveaway. It's an awesome deal that they're doing. Really appreciate them. 11:50 the time. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number one. We got top stories of the day right around the corner. It's The Whole Show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
One is a treat. Good morning, NOCO. Weekdays on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. Man, it is October 16th, and, you know, the Christmas shopping, all that stuff, you should be thinking about it now, because all the good stuff's gone if you wait until late November. And Diamond Valley Collectibles, you're listening to this show, you're a sports fan, obviously. They've got sports memorabilia, sports cards, they got the other stuff like Pokemon cards, that's a big one too. These are great Christmas items for you guys. So Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor. They're at 700 Automation Drive, Unit C in Windsor. Check them out online at Diamond Valley Collectibles in Windsor, diamondvalleycollectibles.com. First event is text line is 888-530-0043. Coming up next, we got the top stories of the day. The injury report from courtesy of Kevin Lytle at the Fort Collins, Coloradoan for Colorado State and Hawaii this weekend. So we'll look at that. Another big game, another big opportunity for Jay Norvell to help secure his job going into next season. So we'll get to that coming up in the next hour. Also, Kevin Lytle will join me. Thursday night special. We got Steelers. We got Bengals. I need this one. We're sitting at 500, Mike. It's desperation time. We got to go. Top stories coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.